Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Friday, September 9th. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Fridays, we always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the Catholic Church in the U.S. celebrates the Feast of St. Peter Claver, a Jesuit priest who ministered to African slaves in Colombia in the 17th century. St. Peter Claver is the patron of Colombia and the patron saint of slaves. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, of course, the big continuing big story this morning is the passing yesterday of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Britain's longest reigning monarch, who died at age 96. Glenn, what is going on? What is the latest this hour?
Well, soon we'll be hearing from King Charles III, her son and the successor on the throne after 70 years of Queen Elizabeth, and the world mourning, even though she was, up there in years at age 96 and said to be in not great health the last day or two leading up, but a bit of a surprise, still meeting with new Prime Minister Liz Truss just 2 days before her passing, but the Queen gone and King Charles III now, the official new monarch of Great Britain.
It is a time of transition, a time of mourning. As I mentioned last hour, I really was touched at the heart. Yesterday, some of the commentators from Great Britain saying that Queen Elizabeth really was not only Britain's grandmother, but she was a grandmother to the world, a world leader. The only thing I can think of that is bigger than her passing was the death of St. John Paul II.
Yeah, a very, big event for a world leader who'd been in power for a very, very long time. And of course, that hits differently for us as Catholics. But one of the things that struck me, too, is how this was handled. Great planning many years in advance for how the transition would go and how it would even be announced over the BBC. But I was really struck with how well England and Great Britain does dignity. I think maybe better than the U.S. in terms of announcing things and handling things.
Absolutely. And when you think of Queen Elizabeth, there's so much history. Just to put it in perspective, she was crowned on June 2nd, 1953, the longest reigning monarch in British history. She served under 15 different British prime ministers. There were eight Holy Fathers, eight popes during her reign. In fact, she met with Pope Pius XII back when she was a princess in 1951. She also met with Pope John XXIII in 1961. She visited St. John Paul II, the Holy Father, then along with her husband in 1980, and invited the Holy Father to Britain, who then made a historic trip to Great Britain, the first time that a pope had set foot in Britain when he visited Buckingham Palace in 1982. And the two of them met together, John Paul II and Queen Elizabeth, for the last time in 2000. She also met with Pope Francis and Pope Benedict XVI. In fact, as you mentioned at the top of the news, the Holy Father had a heartfelt telegram that he sent yesterday offering his condolences and prayers for the death of Queen Elizabeth.
And she pledged a life of service even before her 70 years on the throne. If we have that piece of audio from her on her 21st birthday while traveling with her parents in South Africa.
I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and to the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong.
Very, very moving audio from before she was elevated to Queen. Sarah, I know that you have some reaction from the folks in Great Britain.
Yeah, people sounding off from all around the country and just kind of
saying what it feels like to have lost this person in their life.
The idea of a king, of a man on the stamps or on the money, that's just kind of a bit radical.
She's been that figurehead for longer than I've been alive, and we've all grown up with her and that family. So it's like a family member's gone.
Having a female figure to look up to my whole life has been monumental, really.
I'm not quite ready to sing God Save the King. It's always been God Save the Queen.
I loved her because she's been a symbol of constancy and decency and civility my whole life.
She's the only constant we've all had in our lives. Just want to show me respect.
You know, you can tell there's a lot of emotion in their voices. And I mean, the statistic, this just sounds crazy. 80% of the people who live in England were born after she became queen. That's just insane to think that, like, you know, there's a lot of people that live there. So a lot of them, they don't know anything other than that. So yeah, the emotions are going to be high for the next few days. And this is just going to be a very interesting transition. Like they're saying, like the money has to change. The money will have a different face. And I mean, how weird is that to think?
That is absolutely something that Great Britain is going to have to deal with. And not just only Great Britain, but also all the other countries of the Commonwealth, or the formerly of the Commonwealth, that also use Her Majesty's image on their currency, like Canada and Australia and New Zealand.
I just, you know, also I think Great Britain, they just have great code names for things. You know, Operation London Bridge is just so fun. They have these fun names to, you know, enact all of these things that they have to do all this pre-planning for. They are just so organized. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of days.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of landmarks, some of the landmarks around the world that are recognizing the passing of Queen Elizabeth II. For example, in Paris, the Eiffel Tower went dark. In Brazil, the Christ the Redeemer statue was illuminated in red, blue, and white. Right here in our country, in New York City, the Empire State Building lit up the city sky in royal purple. So a lot of tributes, a lot of memorials, a lot of people thinking and praying about Queen Elizabeth this morning, Glenn.
Absolutely, too. And it, you know, coming out, maybe not always mentioned, but her faith helped power her along the way as well. And so that's something that Pope Francis noted, as well as other world leaders too.
No question about it. That is a part of who she was. She was a woman of faith, a woman of dignity, and one who, as I said before, really was Britain's grandmother and a grandmother to so much of the world. So we continue to pray for the repose of the soul of Queen Elizabeth II, for all the people who are mourning at her passing in Great Britain and around the world. And we start in prayer, as always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we invoke in a special way the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Proverbs 3:5, and says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." This verse is a powerful reminder of trusting and honoring God. The Lord wants us to trust Him in everything. He cares for all of us. We cannot rely on our own understanding, because our ways are not always in line with the Lord's ways. If you haven't done so, today's the day to put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we always pray with great confidence that powerful prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, "Jesus, I trust in you." If you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, you can always shoot us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, last weekend, our next guest wrote an opinion piece, an op-ed at foxnews.com with the headline, "If Republicans can't run against Democrats on abortion, they can't run against them on anything." There's a bipartisan consensus that Democrats, a stunning turnaround in recent polls, that has a lot to do with the issue of abortion. Listen to Planned Parenthood President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson, who was recently on MSNBC.
I mean, what we have seen in the immediate aftermath of Roe v. Wade, right, is that we saw these anti-abortion candidates continue to double down and pursue a deeply radical, extreme, unpopular agenda around continuing to constrain access to care. And I think that what we have done is basically just show people what their choices are. You can vote for the people who are really extreme on these issues, or you could actually vote to govern your own body with people who actually support your access to choice. The majority of Americans do support access to abortion in every single state. And when they really look at what's happening, they look at the number of states that have done these restrictions, it's also actually helping us understand how gerrymandered these states have become, how it is possible that you can have a state where there is majority support, but you actually can't have the laws that you want because you have these politicians who have been safely put into these seats. And so I actually think, as my colleague at NARAL, Mini Timaraja, likes to say, abortion is actually going to save democracy.
Example of how extreme Democrats are on this issue of abortion. The question is, are they out of step with most Americans, especially now in a post-Roe America? Joining us live with more perspective is Professor Charlie Camosi, professor of medical humanities at Creighton University School of Medicine and author of Losing Our Dignity, How Secularized Medicine is Undermining Fundamental Human Equality. Good morning, Professor Camosi. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's really a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Professor, do you think that American pro-lifers were ready for the activist onslaught of propaganda and falsehoods about abortion from the extreme left since Roe v. Wade was overturned?
I mean, pro-lifers is a huge group of people. I guess it depends who you're talking about. If you're talking about Republican candidates, for instance, who claim to be pro-life, I think the answer is obviously not. I heard in your clip the woman say that Republican pro-lifers have been doubling down on this. That's not my experience at all, and that's why I wrote the Fox News op-ed, was to say, listen, this is a winning hand pro-lifers have. If you look, for instance, at what the opinion polls say about abortion after 12 weeks, about 7 in 10 Americans want abortion broadly banned after 12 weeks. Gallup has found that for decades. And what I've seen anyway, I don't know what your experience is, what I've seen anyway, is a kind of cowardly retreat from this sort of fight for prenatal justice that is so central, obviously, to basic human rights. And so on the one hand, yes, I think you can say we maybe have been caught flat-footed. But I think one thing we can do now is sort of hold the feet of our candidates to the fire and say, listen, if this is what you claim to stand for, it's time to get out there and fight for it.
Well, obviously, as you said, the pro-life movement is very big. It depends on what aspect of the movement you're talking about. You know, for example, Students for Life of America, which has representatives in all 50 states and in thousands of campuses, they've been preparing for Roe to be overturned for a long time. So they absolutely have been ready. But perhaps maybe some of our Republican politicians have not.
Yeah, just yesterday I saw the Republican candidate for governor in Minnesota put out a video that he apparently is very proud of. He made it his pinned tweet, so he wanted everyone to see it, where he basically said, I'm not going to focus on abortion. I'm going to focus on these other things. And we see this time and time again, right? And just to put it in extreme, in the extremism of Democrats into kind of a And I used to be on the board of Democrats for Life, so I am sympathetic to a Democratic position on many things. But just to show how extreme the Democrats are on this, they are for no exceptions of any kind. They are for pro-lifers paying for abortions with their tax dollars, and they want no conscience exceptions for abortion. And that's exactly what they wanted to pass in the last legislative session. They wanted to pass a bill doing that. That is about as wildly unpopular a position as you could possibly have, not just in the United States, but around the world. That would make us essentially, the United States, the abortion capital of the world. Almost all civilized countries have significant restrictions on abortion. So if you can't go out there, pro-life Republicans, and make the case against Democrats, I mean, you can't really make the case against anything that they stand for.
It seems like in this day and age, to be a Democrat for life is extremely rare. It's extremely difficult to run as a Democrat that believes in the culture of life.
Oh, yeah. I eventually had to resign from the board of Democrats for Life because I just saw the utter hostility that was coming from the party. But my instincts, and I think the instincts of, frankly, many people, are to say, you know, government's a good thing that can be used to protect vulnerable populations, whether we're talking about the homeless, whether we're talking about those that don't have health care, and especially when we're talking about our prenatal brothers and sisters, right? We need an energetic government, a government that's willing to step in and protect. But it's so interesting to hear from people who identify as progressive or Democrat to suddenly sound so libertarian on abortion, right? Like, government, stay out of my life. No one has the right to make a decision for anyone else. Autonomy, autonomy, autonomy all the way down. And no talk of, hey, maybe there's some power structures here who are working against the vulnerable and the voiceless who suffer the threats, massive threats of violence. So, yeah, I think our politics are a little bit screwed up on this issue, to say the least.
What do you think that Republicans need to do to focus on their campaigns as we get closer and closer to these midterm elections in November, less than 2 months to go?
Well, as I mentioned, I think the main thing to do is just to focus on how extreme Democrats are on this issue and how not extreme it is to have some protection for prenatal children in the law. Again, that's just almost every civilized country has something like that. I'd also talk about how abortion disproportionately impacts the poor and people of color. So people who are economically vulnerable are the most likely to be against abortion, but they're also the most likely to have abortion. And so think about that for a second, right? Poor people, and especially poor people of color, are being pushed to have abortions that they understand and believe are the killings of their own children. Like, how can we not be on the side of that group of people? And then finally, we just need to grow a spine, right? There's a media out there who tries to portray it as extremism and like all this, and we just heard a clip from that. That's not the reality. That is simply not the reality. And it's time to grow a spine. It's time to get on the side of prenatal children and their mothers.
Professor Charlie, obviously there's many other issues that Americans are concerned about as we head closer and closer to the midterm elections. Obviously, the economy, inflation, the price of gas, many other things. Do you think at the very end, abortion will be one of the main issues?
I think that's what all the polls are showing, especially since the Dobbs decision was leaked, and especially once the Dobbs decision came down, there's been a massive uptick. Abortion is usually the main issue for about 1-2% of people going into a midterm election like this. Now it's like way, way up there. In some polls, it's the second most important issue. So, yes, it's already way, way up there. Maybe not at the level of the economy and inflation, but it's way, way more important than it normally is. And frankly, just to kind of sound the alarm here, the polls indicate that it's people who support abortion rights who really are upping their game and who are most activated now as a result of this. So it's up to pro-lifers, I think, especially to let our pro-life politicians know that we're watching. And if they don't step up here at the midterms, maybe we'll go in a different direction next time around, because we really need them now. I mean, we needed them before, But post Dobbs, we need them now. What they say just doesn't matter on social media. It doesn't matter if they come on radio shows. It matters in the real world. It matters for what the laws in these states are actually going to be.
From a spiritual perspective, our U.S. Bishops have called the issue of abortion, the issue of life, the preeminent issue of our time. What can we do to inspire people of faith, pro-lifers, to step up our game to counter all of this pro-abortion propaganda?
Well, I would totally agree that it is a preeminent issue. And let me say this, I think if we think historically, if we think, you look back at moments in history of great civil rights movements, anti-slavery movements, movements for the votes of women, I think this is a very similar kind of movement. Now there's been this major Supreme Court case we've been wanting for so long. You know, I here's something to maybe think about. I often ask people to think about this. When your grandchildren come to you years from now and say, well, this I'm learning in school about Dobbs and about what happened afterwards, what did you do? What were you doing around the post-Dobbs time that will be marked historically, I think, as ridiculously important along these lines of other issues? I think we'll want to give a good answer to them and say, you know, here's what I was doing, right? Here's the campaign I worked on. Here's the shelter I worked in. Here's the number of people I helped. Here's the kind of people I set up these programs with. And here's what we're doing in our parish. And here's what we're doing in our diocese. So, you know, we maybe will certainly be given called to account by God for this. But maybe thinking about that conversation with your grandchildren one day. What did you do in this post-Dobbs moment?
Well, we all pray that one day abortion will become unthinkable in the same vein as slavery is today. No one in their right mind would try to justify that slavery is okay, and hopefully one day that'll be the case with abortion. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Professor Charlie. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
Many blessings to you, Professor Charles Camasi, Professor of Medical Humanities at Creighton University School of Medicine. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Relevant Radio CEO Father Francis Hoffman. Father Rocky is going to be with us for a behind-the-scenes look at Relevant Radio as he reflects on his 13th anniversary with Relevant Radio. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. You're the reason for every good thing,
every heartbeat. Every day we get to. And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, just recently on September 1st, our very own Father Rocky celebrated his 13th anniversary with Relevant Radio. Father Rocky actually began his career as a contributor to Morning Air while he was the longtime chaplain of Northridge Prep in Niles, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. Let me share with you a short excerpt from the very first interview Father Rocky ever did for Relevant Radio in anticipation of the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe back in 2003.
Well, you know, it's come to my attention, thinking about the events of the last 1,000 years, that you take a look at the world in the year 1000 AD and the year 2000 AD, probably the most significant change is 1,000 years ago there were no Christians in the Western Hemisphere, from the North Pole all the way down to the South Pole. And today, the vast majority of people who live in the Western Hemisphere, Canada, the United States, Central America, Mexico, Latin America, they are Christians and most are Catholics. And that can be attributed to a point in time, which was December 12, 1531, when Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego at Tepeyac Hill. And after that, there was a massive conversions to the faith, and from there it spread. So you take a look in terms of mega events, and this was a mega event. Even though it didn't seem like it at the moment, even though it seemed like it happened, the most humble guy in the world, Juan Diego, simple Indian convert, but who had a great faith, great love for Our Lady, and great humility. It just goes to show you, the great things happen through the humble.
And we're now joined live by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei. He was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II and is the author of several books, including his latest, The Memorare Moment, the 30-second prayer that will change your life and the world. Good morning. Buenos dias, Father Rocky. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you. And first of all, congratulations on 13 years with Relevant Radio.
John, how do you do that? How do you find a sound file? How do you find a sound file from 20 years ago? How do you keep that?
Oh, Father Rocky, just for you. That is a piece of Relevant Radio history. It is a digital artifact, a relic, something I will never forget.
I remember, you know, I met you on a Saturday morning in late November 2002, like right after, or 2003, right after my mother had passed away and had the funeral. And at breakfast, I didn't know you. I'd heard something on the radio. You asked me if I knew anything about Our Lady of Guadalupe. I said, yeah, I know a lot. I've spent a lot of summers down in Mexico. And then you said, well, can you come to our studio on December 12th and talk about that? I said, no, I've got a full-time job in Northridge Prep, so I can't do that on that day. He said, how about if I come to your office and record you? I said, okay, you can do that. So I'm listening to this now, 20 years later. Of course, I hear a younger voice of Father Rocky, but I'm quite fascinated that I know exactly what I said back then, because that's already at that point, this book, which I'd write 20 years later, called Mary at the Crossroads of History, that idea was already sort of planted there. You know, of how Mary intervenes in history and how that was like the most important moment in history in the last 1,000 years. And now I know why I did that, because, you know, it all started, we were having a van ride on December 31st, 1999, father and sons back from Colorado, Chicago, as we used to do a father-son ski trip. So everybody was all uptight about Y2K, you know, because there's a lot of people who like to be afraid. You know, they're always thinking, you know, the world.
I remember. That. Everybody was scared of Y2K.
Well, yeah. And they said, what are you going to be doing on, you know, I said, look, if the world's going to end, I want my last day to be skiing in Colorado, right? I'm not going to, you know, prep a bunker and run for the hills. You know, if it's going to end, it's going to end, you know. And so we're coming back. I got a van load of kids. You know, it's a long drive. It's a 17-hour drive, so we're going across Nebraska, and I'm thinking, yeah, what do you do to entertain the kids? And I said, hey, let's play the Millennium Game. I said, what on earth is the Millennium Game? I said, it's an awesome game, but you can only play it once every 1,000 years, and tonight's the night. It's December 31st, 1999. Well, how do you play it? Well, you go around a circle. Everybody has to propose what they think was the most important event in human history, and then they've got to explain that and defend it. Well, the first 1,000 years is real simple. Everybody agreed the most important event was the birth of Christ. So now we're on to the year 1000 to 2000, and we had all sorts of different, these kids are smart. You know, these guys go off to, you know, good universities and things like that. One boy said, I think it was the invention of the printing press with Gutenberg. And why do you say that? Well, now people became more literate. It led to more information, universities, expansion of information, and learning a lot. Well, that's pretty good. Somebody else said, no, I think it was the invention of flight, you know, planes to jet planes. And we said, why do you say that? Well, take a look. 150 years ago or 200 years ago, it took you 6 months to go from New York City to San Francisco, whether you sailed there or you walked across the land. Now it takes 6 hours. That's changed everything. Somebody else said the information age, another electricity. And then somebody said, no, I think the most important event in the last 1,000 years is when Our Lady appeared to St. Juan Diego on his way to Tepeyac Hill on December 9th or 12th, 1531. Because after that, more than 10 million Native Americans are baptized into the Catholic faith, like in the next 10 years, more than making up for all the Catholics who defected to Protestantism in Europe at the time. And from there, it spread to Asia and Indonesia and all the rest. And as you heard on that soundbite, you know, 1,000 years ago, from the North Pole to the South Pole, there wasn't a single Christian. So, yeah, that's how I got started. You know, 13 years is not usually something to make a big deal of. You know, like 10 years would be, or 25 or 50. But I look back on those last 13 years, because that was sort of the hardest day of my life when I left Northridge Prep. I loved being the chaplain there. But
I remember that day, meeting. Father, you called me to tell me that you were leaving and you were joining Relevant Radio full time. Who would have thunk that everything that has happened since would have occurred?
You know, I don't know, but it was a request by our Cardinal George, who was the Archbishop of Chicago at that time and the President of the United States Conference for Catholic Bishops. It was a request by the Board of Directors. So you try to do God's will, and you don't look back. Because people would ask me, do you miss Northridge Prep? Because I worked with kids for 35 years. I said, yeah, I miss it when I'm there, but when I'm not there, I don't even think about it because I've got all these other things to do. And so I jumped in. And we had a great team. We had a great message, a great message, a mission, and great listeners. We just had to bring a little more discipline into how we operate it, so that we wouldn't lose money. So, really, the past 13 years, I look back on it. It's a story about God's grace, which is always there if you ask for it. It certainly is the power of prayer. I mean, I used to pray a lot. I thought I prayed a lot. I prayed like crazy the last 13 years. And I tell people, here's the formula. Pray like crazy, work like maniacs, and never, ever give up. Because people give up. You know, they give up on life, they give up on marriage, they give up on vocation, they give up on work. Just never, ever give up. And I think what sustains you in never giving up is pray like crazy and work like a maniac. Of course, you got to take care of yourself. You got to sleep, you got to rest, you need recreation, all that. But I've learned over the last 13 years, you know, the power of God's grace, the power of prayer, especially what I call, how do I call it, community intercessory prayer or collective intercessory prayer. That's a mouthful. What does that mean? It means everybody praying together for the same thing. You're asking for something, right? And we've seen that with the Memoraries. We prayed on air for the last 10 years. We prayed for an end to legal abortion. Well, we made a big step forward with the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade. I knew it would happen sooner or later because it was bad law. Yeah, that's why maybe 50% of the country embraced it. Good law, 90% of the country is going to embrace it. So back in 1973, oil crisis, OPEC, the federal law was speed limits going to be reduced from 65 to 55, and they told us why. So you'd save on gas and you'd have fewer car accidents. Most people said, okay, I'd rather drive fast, but that's reasonable. And most people kind of went with it. But with the Roe versus Wade, that never caught on. You know, there's always a huge portion of the population that said you can't do that, and it's still divided that way, right? It's a deep, deep issue, but I think we've seen the power of prayer there with the Memoraries, with the Rosary on Air, and I suppose that's what's given me the energy to kind of push this thing forward. You know, the more people praying at the same time, the better. So we've seen the goodness of people. We've seen the power of our programming. That's been awesome. You know, we've got very good, very clear mission statement, and that is to bring Christ to the world through the media. So it's Christ-centered, because Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of all things, the end of all things. He's the center of history. He's the source of history. He is the one through whom all things have been created and exist. So everything's got to be related to Christ. So our goal at Relevant Radio is to bring Christ to the world through the media. So it's broad enough to allow us to use AM stations, FM stations, FM translators, low power FM stations, satellite if we want. We do use satellites in our operations. Microwave, we use that in our operations. I don't think we use infrared to communicate, but you know, whatever kind of telecommunication systems we do, you know, fiber optics, DSL, apps, web, internet. You could do TV, although TV is changing, right? We could do billboards, we could do print. But what we don't do is we don't build schools. Schools are a great thing. And we don't build hospitals. Hospitals are a great thing, but that's not what we do. We don't build...
We're not going to see a Relevant Radio amusement park anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they're great, like a Noah's Ark theme park, but sure, that's not what we do. And that happens in organizations. They get distracted about what their real mission is. And we had a gathering of all of our employees and associates the other day. You were there. And I kind of unpacked the mission statement for people. And I said, the hard part of the mission statement is you cannot give what you do not have. You know, if each one of us are not making a daily effort to know Christ, to love Christ, to imitate Christ, if we're in this for our own skin and not for the sake of Christ, you know, it'll go belly up. So that's the real challenge there, right? But I think we've also seen not only the power of prayer, but the blessing of living in the United States of America. We have the First Amendment. It's a powerful, powerful freedom. This is not the normal situation in human history in countries that people have freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion. There are large parts of the world that don't have that. China does not have that. Saudi Arabia does not have that. And many other countries do not have that. We have that in this country, and we're taking full advantage of it. What we're doing on radio here, we can't do in Canada. We can't do this in Mexico. You can't have us owning stations. We can't do that in many parts of the country. So it's been a real blessing in the United States that we do have these freedoms. We're taking full advantage of it.
No question, Father. We are blessed. And we're also blessed to have you as the captain of our Relevant Radio ship. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share what Relevant Radio has meant for you, I would love to hear from you. If you listen to and pray along with Father Rocky every night on the Family Rosary across America, I'd love to hear your perspective on what it has meant for you personally. Give us a call. We're taking calls for Father Rocky, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Good morning, life. Good morning, sun. How are you, skies above? Gee, it's great to be alive and in love.
You gotta love Dino. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue our conversation with our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, Father Francis Hoffman. Father Rocky, we have a few folks who want to join in and chat with us this morning. We're going to go to the Twin Cities. Corey is standing by. Corey, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Rocky.
Hi, Corey.
Good morning. Thank you. Hi, Father. This is Corey, Finn and Maya's mom. How are you?
Oh, great. How are the kids doing?
And I just wanted, they are wonderful. And I just wanted to thank you and all of Relevant Radio for giving us the opportunity to help keep them on the right path every day.
Good.
And, you know, as they leave us, they're not always going to be able to get to us or our home church. But no matter where they are in the world, they'll always have Relevant Radio. And they can just tune in and listen when they're in need. And it's helping them to learn to trust in Jesus and us to trust in Jesus. And we're just so grateful for it.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Corey.
Do you have a question today, Corey, or are you just saying thanks?
No. Oh, we just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, well, that's great. I remember you came out to the parish event we did this summer. I met you at the Christ Brings Hope Award a couple of years ago. I remember, I think you guys tuned in for Family Rose Across America every night. And that gives me a lot of hope because I know when families tune in, you've got the kids there. And there's studies on this, that when the family prays together, they do stay together. And it also puts something in their heart, their mind, their memory that keeps them coming back to the faith and those values. And so it's a very, very encouraging thing. We know we've got a lot of youngsters out there with their families praying the rosary every night. That's a huge thing. That was never the intention. You know, the intention was, let's just do the rosary and see what happens. But then COVID came along. Everybody's locked down. And we said, well, if all the churches are closed, we're going to keep it open. We're going to have Mass every day at noon. We're already streaming on Facebook Live. We decided, well, let's put it across the whole network. And since it was up there, I said, well, I might as well do the rosary in the evening. And we already had the technology to stream it. So we do it on Facebook, YouTube, Relevant Radio. And people join in, and it's a great thing. So God bless you, Corey. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing with your own family.
Thanks so much, Corey. Father Rocky, how gratifying is it for you personally to pray the Family Rosary across America, day in and day out, every night, touching so many souls, so many lives and families across our nation?
Well, you know, I always wanted a Family Rosary on Relevant Radio. I never could figure out how to do it because sometimes, you know, it's difficult to get things done. And then an opportunity presented itself after we merged with Mac at Heart Radio on the West Coast
that we had this slot open, and it allowed us actually to solve four problems at once. I won't go into the details, but then we had Father Dave Heaney on air from his rectory at his church, St. Bernard's, I think, and I know it's in Whittier, California. And his co-host was up at our Sacramento studios, Karen Moran. And she's just got a great voice. Everybody called her America's big sister. And that, but then when COVID shut everything down and I had to be up in Green Bay, I said, I might as well do the rosary. And I know the power of that simple prayer, the beauty of it, experienced in my own family growing up. We prayed the family rosary together in the evenings. I don't know, John, if it was every night or if it was just during the month of October or the month of May. I think it was probably in the month of October because that's the month of the rosary. Because I remember it was dark in the living room at that time. So in May, it wouldn't be dark, right? At 7, 8 o'clock.
Well, Father, I remember how faithful you've always been to the rosary. I still remember you on the Kennedy Expressway praying the rosary with me. I think we were heading downtown for some event, and you're praying. We turned off the radio, and we were praying the rosary in the car in the middle of wall-to-wall traffic on the Kennedy.
Sure, and a lot of people do that with us all over the country, you know, with the rosary. And you can pray five mysteries in 10 minutes, and here's the trick. The longest rosary is if you do it in Italian, because there's a lot of words in Italian. Then Spanish is shorter. English is shorter than that. You know what the shortest version of the rosary is? Latin.
Wow. Wow.
Not that you should be interested in timing it, but Spanish and Italians add all sorts of words into their prayers, and it's a beautiful language. But yeah, it gives me a lot of energy, and I think it's a service, and we want to grow it. Because it's a real blessing to the church and to the family.
Well, Jose is joining us this morning from San Bendito, Texas. Good morning, Jose. You're on with Father Rocky.
Jose, where's San
morning,
Bendito?
Everyone.
Where's San Bendito?
San Bendito. San Bendito is like San Benedict in Spanish.
Okay, but where is it in Texas?
It's just below Harlingen, Texas.
Oh, you're way down there. That's great. We've got those FM stations.
Sir.
I've been down there before. I've been in Edinburgh. I've been in Brownsville. They've got a lot of grapefruit down there, don't they?
Actually, that was our conversation before Lent. And I told you we have a lot of great tacos as well.
I don't know great tacos.
That. But yes, we,
you know,
we have
I love tacos.
You'll know them down here, Father. You should try them next time you come. Good. Father, I'm calling you because before Lent, you told me to call you back if I see some billboards on the road. And I did see them. You know, I keep seeing Patrick and his majestic mustache almost every day. and I do see Drew Mariani as well. So they're great. I'm pretty sure they're working.
That's great. Yeah, we said, you know, there's a lot of Catholics down there. And it's a new market for us, so let's take billboards out, put Patrick up there with his majestic mustache. You'll be happy to hear that, the majestic mustache, and Drew Mariani. And, you know, we had somebody call in last night from your area for a prayer intention. Some young man, his name is Salvador, was kidnapped. He's been gone for 251 days, so we're praying for that young man down there. Jose, thank you for calling in. Tell us that you saw the billboards out there. We're going to be running billboards in San Antonio because that's a new market for us. And everybody else who's listening to what you can help Rel and Radio besides praying for us, put a bumper sticker on your car. And if you don't have one, just call our number and they'll send you one. You never know what it's going to lead to.
I love it. Patrick Madrid's majestic mustache.
He's not going to live that down.
Thank you, Jose. We go to New Jersey. Joe is with us this morning. Welcome, Joe.
How you doing, Joe?
Wonderful. I'm glad to hear your voice, Father Rocky. I want
to
tell you, I love the family rosary.
So
I think the family is, I just think the family is being attacked from so many areas.
Oh, it is.
Oh
my
goodness.
That's an understatement. That's an understatement.
And you know what joy gives my heart when you talk to children, more than anyone? Yeah. They have such purity. They are so sweet and respectful. And
well, their parents
they
are very
just
good.
Make my heart lift with joy. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, no, it helps
well,
wanna... because you know that they've got good parents who have trained them to be respectful and polite, and they're confident, too. I like that, you know, because many times kids don't feel confident, but I think around me, I want them to feel confident because I take them seriously.
Yes, you do. And you treat them with respect as you would any person. Sometimes adults get a little bit more deference than children, but you focus on children. And to me, as a teacher of past years, that is the most important thing because that's our church, those little ones.
Yep.
And
reflecting on that now. I was really blessed in my education, kindergarten, went to a Catholic grade school, went to public high school, had really, really good teachers who they were deliberately trying to build up your confidence. And my mother was trying to build up my confidence. You know, I remember my favorite book as a kid was this Choo Choo Train, I Think I Can, right? What do they call that? That you probably know about it, right? The little engine that could. Thank you, Sarah. You're a mom yourself. You know, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Because there's so many fears little kids have to face, like jumping in the water or riding a bike or getting out on the baseball field. Or what do they do when they strike out in baseball? Do they get up and fight again? That's why team sports can be really good for kids, because they quickly find out they are not the king of the world or something. Again, they got to figure out, okay, how am I going to do it? So thank you, Joe, for those comments, and spread the word about Red Alert Radio.
Thank you, Joe. Father Aki, final minute. We've come such a long way from the early days, 12, 14 stations to 200 plus, touching so many souls. I love what Mike Kendall, our chief programming officer, pointed out, that we have a much larger audience. And if you combine all the top five college football stadiums in America, we have way more folks listening to Relevant Radio than that. Quick thought on where Relevant Radio is headed.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot, John. Thank you. It sounds like a lot. We're broadcasting at 200 radio stations in this country, but there are 16,000 radio stations in the country, so we've got 15,800 to go. We still have a lot of work to do. So, hey, thanks. Keep up the good work. You got a great team with Sarah on your team and Glenn Leverance and Gabby Burke and the whole gang. So great to be with you.
It really is a team effort, and I so much appreciate it. Congratulations on 13 very blessed years with Relevant Radio. Father Aki, our Relevant Radio CEO, and now it is time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Came across this last night in all the reading about the passing of Queen Elizabeth. It's not meant to be a theology lesson, but a beautiful story nonetheless. It's from an unknown author called The Queen's Last Journey. Philip came to me today and said it was time to go. I looked at him and smiled as I whispered that, "I know." Then I turned and looked behind me. I saw I was asleep. All my family were around me, and I could hear them weep. I gently touched each shoulder with Philip by my side. Then I turned away and walked with my angel guide. Philip held my hand as he led the way to a world where kings and queens are monarchs every day. I was given a crown to wear, or halo, known by some. The difference is up here, they're worn by everyone. I felt a sense of peace. My reign had seen its end. 70 years I had served my country as the people's friend. Thank you for the years, for all your time and love. Now I'm one of two again. Palace up above. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
As always, Glenn, I really appreciate it. Yet another powerful story corner. Also want to remind you to not miss an episode of On the Night Train, an audio mystery for the entire family. It's premiering with episode number one, kicking off the world premiere this Sunday, September the 11th. You can sign up for free at onthenighttrain.com. That's onthenighttrain.com. That'll do it as we continue to pray for the repose of the soul of Queen Elizabeth and the British people. Another reminder, don't forget to join Father Aki for the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week. And you can also pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy this afternoon at 3 p.m. on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverance, for producers Sarah Tafoya and Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. As Pope St. John Paul II famously said, do not be afraid. Open wide the doors to Christ. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.